Started out with the idea of putting all the corporation's land in the land bank. Was the agreement that you proposed to have with the federal government one that set out how many years the land would be in there?
Yes.
If you wanted to bring it out, how much notice you had to give?
Yes, we got beat on that one. That's one that we got beat on, because in our agreement, we were designing around the Keokuk Refuge, and we were only talking about Caltech lands, because Caltech lands were out of their protection. So we were just talking about them, but thinking the Keokuk. I forgot your question.
What about? I said, had you considered the length of?
Okay. So we worked into that agreement. A means by which we had a perpetual renewal. And when they stopped it, I knew that's probably one of the reasons it wouldn't fly, and it was. And so they came back and said, hey, listen, we're only talking about 10 years with 1 5-year renewal, you see. So we're not going to make a servitude of our Indian lands for that period of time for nothing, you see. So they got to do something meaningful. And we'll talk meaningful land bank agreement. But it's got to be meaningful. Because this new era, we got to have that little help to carry us over.
Oh, thanks very much, Mr. Spencer.
You know, the period under the five-year history, we talked about that, and I didn't try to go and offer him any other thing. I was trying to think, you know, a person or kind of dead now. Government officer here, somebody that you're talking about, so you have to bring somebody else. He doesn't understand, first he gets all out of the temper. Nobody knows what the hell anybody's talking about.
Well,
that seems to be a problem there that Jimmy brought up, is nobody knowing what they're talking about. Because when you look at this land claims thing of the Indian land claims here, you have to look into it in a very small manner, because we've got the Statehood Act, all these different federal laws since the statehood, 25 years of law, all packed into one small generation of people.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Did you want to? Are you interested in, is Anilka included in this?
Yeah, Anilka is the kind of chapter 2 of ANCSA.
Yes.
Yes.
And I learned from this kind of discussion we're having, I don't know whether it's helpful to anybody else, but it's helpful to me.
Okay, well, I take this time to, Pat and I have talked a number of times, and I've heard rumors about this land bank going on, but again, the details is kept quiet. Well, I don't know. I have qualms on the corporation. I'm not a direct stockholder, so I feel somewhat I shouldn't necessarily pry into, in a sense, the corporation. I mean, it's my wife is a stockholder, but I have a mixed feelings about it, so I keep my ears open, but again, I don't go in and chew on Pat because I'm not a stockholder or try to get a lot of details necessarily. But anyways, getting back to the point on Anilka. And management of land and federal land, under Anilka, through the Fish and Game Advisory Committee system and the Interior Regional Council that's set up, and it's set up for the interior region, and it is all the chairmen of the advisory committees. And this Interior Regional Council can make an annual report on subsistence to the interior. And last year we did this. And my feeling, and I pushed among others to get this done.
You mean report to the Department of Interior?
No, well,
you said Interior Regional Council.
Yeah,
report to
the Secretary of Interior.
Yeah, Secretary of Interior.
Right. Okay.
I just wanted to make sure I understood the two meanings.
Yeah. Well.
Of Interior.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I've got it.
And there was a tremendous amount of feet dragging. They did not want this report made. It was the first one ever made under ANILCA. And the state didn't seem to want it made because under that mandate, a report can be made on management strategy for subsistence on federal lands. And in particular, like Pat mentioned, this cutting of 3-inch trees on the refuge over here, which if you look at our annual report that went out last year, which as inadequate as it was, we had no staff support. We had no staff that we had a secretary, a half-time secretary that would type it after we had made the report, but we had no technical support or anything, but we wrote the report anyways. And among other things, we recommended on this 3-inch, they have this, you're required to have a permit to cut a 3-inch live tree. And among other things, beaver trapping, which is a traditional subsistence activity. You cut bait sticks. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but you cut bait sticks, live bait sticks, to bait the beaver. And half of the time, they're...
less than 3 inches.
More than 3 inches.
More than 3 inches.
The way it says, cutting a live tree greater than 3 inches at ground level. So 3 inches at ground level, you're talking about a sapling, really. This is what you're doing. And furthermore, you cannot even cut poles for, really, as far as I can see, a fish wheel legally without a permit. Because at the base, I'm sure, most of them are greater than 3 inches. Well, in any case, in this report, which the refuge people did not want made, this is from, they were there and they testified that they didn't need any help on management strategy and or anything else, but it was mandated. According to my interpretation, it says you may make recommendations, and we did on, it says standards, regulations, guidelines, everything, and we went down through it. And the cabin policy was another one that we recommended. They had it so that families were just as date of application, any more children were not included. And we recommended rejecting that on subsistence grounds. And they have yet to reply to that. And come this November, there's going to be a strong move. If I have anything to do with it, see, under ANILCA, we can take them to court under subsistence. They supposedly will accept recommendations on subsistence, except unless they can reject them for three good reasons. One being detrimental to fish and wildlife populations, the second one harmful to subsistence, and the third one was good evidence not presented in support of it. I think that's just the three. So there is this mechanism. I don't know how effective. So that may help on this.
I think you're just kind of giving it a chat. But on the subsistence.
No, why don't we get it?
Okay.
Just
on the subsistence part of this ANILCA, we, in our land bank agreements, we're not assigning them any responsibility on subsistence. We figured that we can handle it ourselves because we're going to get, this is where Sidney Huntington's thought comes in about the preservationists and everyone stripping of us of our subsistence values and things. So we know, and we can see that writing on the wall. He's dealt with it for years. The reason why we're going Kaikuk Land Bank Agreement, and one of the considerations is that we have one of the key elements to managing it right there. During the key years, these first 10 or 15 years, we want to use these key people, like Royce here, whom we put a great deal of trust and faith into, and Jimmy and Sidney, and those various people that we have, through hard work, placed in these positions, through reading and understanding these laws, reading and understanding it to some degree anyway. So we want to use these first 15 years to build something meaningful for an extension to land bank agreements. And we hope we'll arrive at that that juncture someplace.
Okay, well, I better go. I see the plane.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brewington, and my thanks to all the people from Nolato and the other places out of town. And I think this dialogue with Mr. Sweetser made a lot of things, and of course, in which Mr. Huntington joined, made a lot of things clearer to me. You're a little bit on the frontiers of this thing, you know, here, pushing ahead with the land bank, and that often makes other things clearer that led up to that. So even though you were just chatting, it was a pretty good chat.
Yeah, very good chat. I would like to speak for you.
Yeah.
Wait, can I make one? I'd like to make one other comment. As Pat was saying, one of the reasons we made our annual report and we push for it now is because our recommendations are down in print to the secretary before the planning process for the Koyukuk Refuge and the Innoko is really in a very effective planning stage. So they cannot ignore, at least I can't see how they can ignore, the recommendations of the local people. And I'm with Pat 100% on this. You get one jump ahead. If you get it down, then they can't say they didn't know about it. And they can't say they... Well, I know, I guess they can, but I mean, you certainly have, there are some legal ramifications that they'll have to put up with if they don't pay attention to it. Go ahead, Pat. Huh? I hope so. I really do.
Well, I hope so. I was fired by a number of laughs.
Well, maybe Mr. Sweetser and then Mr. Huntington.
Okay, I wanted to speak to Doyon, on the Doyon, because I'd heard Jimmy speaking about this earlier. And, of course, he told you that they're sort of in financial straits and all, kind of a bleak situation. Of the native settlement, if we're ever going to lose part of the native settlement, I kind of think we'll be losing the regional corporations first. However, I have this dream and this vision that we can save the regions, not by consolidating or anything else, but removing some of the responsibility of their the management of their land base, in particular the management of those 25 township withdrawals around each of the villages. And I believe that to be the way that we'll probably end up looking at the settlement. And I kind of believe that they'll consider some ideas along those lines too, because we have new management, and that new management brings sort of new life to our corporation. And I'm kind of glad to see that before it all went backwards. I'm not blaming anyone, it's just the situation that they're in, the outside pressures that's being brought upon the land claims is what does it. It's not any one person. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
We have good teachers around here.
You have the last word, Mr. Livingston. No, Mr. Huntington.
Mr. Livingston, that person. Dr. Livingston.
He can be pretty good. I think he's that
guy.
Okay.
You weren't going to say any more?
No.
For the record?
For the record, yeah. For
any other words for us?
You have more for us than you got all day today.
Well, we had a good afternoon and we've had a good evening. And well, Mr. Huntington, if that's all you have to say, I want to thank you especially, and Mr. Sweetser and Ms. Eric and Mr. Fred Huntington. Anyone else want to say anything?
Ben, what words for the record, Fred? For the other native people in the world, say hello anyway.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Ed, meeting stands adjourned. Jim might need a little help with his equipment. If anybody's got a pickup or something to take him back to the lodge with his loudspeaker and stuff.
Well, it'll take me about half an hour to pack it up. About 30 minutes.
You want me to go back in half hour, or you want me to have to? I don't want to have to, but what happens if I get some wire wrong?
Yeah, probably.